Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Wade Butler, Chaplain for the Republics of the United States of America. I am traveling tonight, and unfortunately, I'm not able to get my phone and the computer tied together, so I'm just going to be on phone. John is handling the board, and praise God. We're, you know, don't let the little things stop you from doing what you got to do. We're in incredible times. We're in times where signs, wonders, and miracles are happening. We were just talking about the possibility of is that a sign in the heavens, because a sliver of the new moon was recognized an evening early. I can't answer that. That is a sign in the heavens, but I don't know the significance of it. We're in times where God is changing the times and the seasons, and we have to be totally aware of what he's doing. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We already have tonight planned. I've got some very good things to share with you. And then we're going to also bring an excellent word from John. Matt's got a powerful teaching, and I expect it to be a wonderful evening. So let's go to the Lord in prayer first, followed by the shofar, and then we'll go into prayer. So, John, sound the shofar. Glory, glory. You know, we need to be listening like never before. We need to press in and hear and recognize what God is doing. And it's a time where it's tough on many people because of the challenges we've been through. So I'm going to bring some of that tonight. But I'm going to talk to the Lord first on your behalf. Father Yahweh, we come in the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We come to you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, asking for divine wisdom, asking for discernment and revelation, asking for insight that has never been given before, but comes only from thy throne of grace. We need an understanding. We need to know, hear, and see that which is being said, that which is being done, that which is taking place all around us. There's signs in the heavens. There's people that have seen angels over Korea. There's people that have been experiencing breakthroughs that just are fresh, that are new, and that have not been experienced. And we need to hear from you. We need to know and understand what is being said, how it's being said, why it's being said, and what you want out of us. What is our position? Where do we go from here? You know, that you said that we're supposed to, our end days are supposed to be greater than our beginnings, than our first days. And that we're stepping into a season where the promises are being fulfilled. David's got a little testimony he's going to get tonight about that. We have so much that's happening in Revelation, that you're giving insight, that you're giving hope, that you're giving deliverance to your people. So we need to see what it is that you are bringing about in our lives so that we can function properly and do the kingdom work. You know, it doesn't really matter what we've been through. I've been through a lot. Everybody's been through a lot. And you're saying that, you know, don't let it rob us of our peace, because you're actually bringing about things in our lives that are going to bring a refreshing. One of those things refreshing, I sent out a word this week on the 14th. It was a word about a tsunami over the nation. That there was a word by Charles Schamp out of Nashville, Tennessee, who's a pastor and a prophet. And in prayer, you showed him a tsunami, a red tsunami going over the nation. And that you were extending a olive branch to this nation through the president of the corporate, Donald Trump. And that he will even go into a second term because of the mighty things that you have him do. And that the branch of the government shall be shifted and changed. There will be a tsunami of revival. There's going to be such a time that the people will cry out unto you, and you're going to show yourself strong. You said cities are going to see salvation, entire cities, like it happened when, with Lakey and others, mighty men and women of God that were the generals of old. They came and entire cities were saved. And you're saying in this dream and vision, you're going to see it again. We're going to see it again. And you said in this dream that a sign of these things is coming to pass, and it'll be a wave of the conservatives elected during 2018 in the midterms, as we call them. So, Lord, we're standing believing. We're standing for putting more conservative people on the Supreme Court. We're standing believing for more conservative people, Christian people that will be in the House and the Senate. We need you right now. So you're saying press into you, build ourselves up, that we can be strengthened in this time, in this season of trials and tribulation. And boy, are they ever. You know, if we are going to look back at our history, then we're going to be frustrated and frightened. And you say, don't be. This is the time. This is the season. This is where you're going to demonstrate yourself in such a way that's never been seen before. So as we're in critical days, we recognize the devil is wreaking havoc to us and our loved ones, but at the same time, you're saying to all supplications and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving, make that for all people and for the kings, those who are in leadership and in high positions over us, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way, and that's good and pleasing in the sight of our God and Savior. That's 1 Timothy 2:1-3. So as we press into that promise and look, men and women are seeing into the heavens for the first time. They're going into the courts. They're experiencing a transition as we're in transitional times where you are opening up dimensions that have not been seen. There are men and women that have seen the angels over Korea going in before all this happened with this new peace pact and treaty that's being signed and the lives that are going to be changed. And you have used the Koreans in such a way. My neighbor across the street is one of the leaders of his church in the Korean church. He came out of South Korea. And out of South Korea, more missionaries have been sent than any other country other than the United States. They've gone out in the world to evangelize. You said you're strong and mighty and that you're going to do things where you pull together. It was prophesied in 2007 that you were going to unite North and South Korea. And from that, benefits that would affect the world would break forth. There would be technology. There would be healings. There would be resources beyond what's ever been done before. And it's going to be a great and mighty nation. And when that pastor called out, he says, what are you saying? Where are the angels? And the angels step back and say, I'm the angel over Korea, not North, not South, Korea. So we cannot lose sight that you're in charge, and we have to take courage and not be afraid and not be concerned about what's going on. We have to press in to you. So, Lord, we choose not to give up. We choose to trust in you. We choose to step into that place that only you can bring us, that we're in a place of peace, that quiet place, that secret place, that place of reflection because of what's going on. You know, we know we're in the end time simply because you said that the light will shine through the darkness and the darkness would be exposed and you would expose all things. Well, that's going on right now. And the lies that have been told are being shown as lies, and they're telling bigger lies to hide up the smaller lies, and it just goes from presumption to assumption to lie upon lie upon lie. The deception is everywhere, and the enemy is running around like a madman trying to cover the lies as they're being exposed and bringing out more lies. And you're saying this is the time and season when all things are going to be exposed and brought into light, so even ourselves. We need, Lord, to press into you in such a way is that we will not lose sight of who we are in you, and we should not fall and stumble because we have repented, we have turned away, we have pressed into you in such a manner that our sins are forgiven, that you've washed us and that you've cleansed us. And I thank you for that, Lord. You know, in our calendar that we do on a monthly basis, today is the sixth day of Tammuz, June 18th. And the scripture for it was Exodus 34:10-27. And I want to lift this back up to you, Lord, before I close, because this is the covenant renewed. And this is where we are as a people. We need our covenant renewed with you. We need to press back in that we can see, hear, know, and understand what's going on and not be fearful. In verse 10 it says, "Then God said, Behold, I am going to make a new covenant. Before all your people, I'll do wondrous work, miracles, such as not been created or produced in all the earth, nor among any of the nations. And all the people among whom I live, who you live with, shall see the working of the Lord. For it is fearful and awesome thing that I do, and I'm about to do in your midst." Is that not the same thing that's going on today? You go on, Lord. You say, "Be sure to do what I'm commanding you this day." And what you're commanding us to do is press in. And you're saying, "I am going to drive out the Amorite before you, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Watch yourself so that you do not make a covenant or agreement or treaty with the inhabitants of this land that you're going into." Well, what's the land we're going into? Is it Korea? No, I don't think that's it. You're saying don't allow yourself to be pulled in to a false worship, a false pressing in, a false god. "But you shall tear down and destroy the pagan altars and smash it in pieces, their sacred pillars, their obelisks, their images, and cut down their gods. And you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord your God is jealous and impassioned and demanding and rightfully and uniquely so, because all things are his. Otherwise, he would make a covenant with the inhabitants of the rest of the world, and you would play prostitute to them and their gods." So God is saying, you might take some of their daughters to your sons, and daughters would play prostitute to their gods. And this is not to be done. "You shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, Passover. For 7 days you shall not eat the unleavened bread that I've commanded you. At the appointed time in the month of Abib, in the month of Abib, you shall come out of Egypt. And all the firstborn males and livestock you shall bring, whether cattle or sheep. You shall redeem the firstborn, but if you not redeem it, break his neck." He's talking about donkeys and lambs. "And you shall redeem the firstborn to your son, and none of you should appear before me empty-handed." He's saying, bring offerings, bring something before me, your first fruits. What is that? Your first of your labors, your first of your efforts. It's not just finances. And God is saying in this, he says, "I'm making a new covenant, and you shall bring the best of your first fruits of your ground to the house of the Lord. And you shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk," because it was, you know, that was a sin. But he's saying, "Write these words, Moses, in accordance to what I have commanded with you and with Israel." And Moses was there for 40 days and 40 nights. He ate no bread or drank no water. And he wrote the tablets of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, the second time. For God wrote it the first time, but Moses had to write it the second time. Why? Because it was a new covenant, and God required of Moses that he had to do something for the people. He had to write that new commandment. And it was to wash him and the people of any defilement. So we're going to end up with a better covenant. That better covenant is Jesus Christ. That better covenant is a walk in a position and a place in and of him that we can accomplish that which he's promised. So whatever you're going through, whatever the situation is, regardless of the circumstances and how hard it's been, he's saying that I am coming and I am justifying you through that which you've gone, that you will have a new promise, a new fulfillment, a new restoration, a new direction, a new hope, a new authority. And in that place, you will see signs, wonders, miracles, great things are about to happen. Angelic hosts are appearing all around the land. Signs are coming to the prophets. They're getting words and dreams and open visions. They're seers that are seeing that never have. And he's saying, I want to build each and every one of you up. Don't let the enemy tear you down. Don't let him destroy your prosperity spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or physically. Turn everything over to me for encouragement and support, and I will lift you up. I will take you through this hatred. I'll take you through this evil time, and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to undergird you, and you shall come out on the other side of this as my sons and daughters, kings and priests, heirs and joint heirs, more than conquerors, above and not beneath. And you're going to see the promise that I made to your forefathers even, the promise of the covenant, the promise of hope delivered into your hands for my glory, says the Lord. And in that, I want to thank you, Lord, that your promise is yes and amen, and that we have a position and a place. We have a hope. Now, as we go into tonight, John's going to bring a powerful praise word, and Matt has got a strong word for you, and we're going to have some prayer. And I've asked David to bring a short message for 10 minutes, just about a vision that God gave him and a fulfillment of that vision and direction. So be prepared. Buckle up. John's got a great things for you, so I surrender to John Rockwell, and blessings unto you. This is going to be a powerful night. John?
Well, thank you, Wade, and good evening, everybody. I had a few things prepared, and I'm going to go ahead and go through those, and then I'm going to add some stuff to our praise time tonight. But I was kind of drawn to a vision that Det Sheets had over the past little while about fathers. And of course, since we've just gone through Father's Day, it kind of fits. I wanted to kind of briefly talk about the vision that he had and kind of read what he had. Jeremiah Johnson is the one that actually had the vision. But what he saw, he said he saw a man glowing with bright light, with a long white robe and a golden sash around his shoulders, appearing on the scene. His hair and facial features and eyes were stunningly beautiful. He says, "You're listening to the cry of your sons. It's not pride or arrogance that you are hearing, but a deep need to be validated and affirmed by you." In other words, the sons are needed to be validated by the fathers. Suddenly, a beautiful man pulled a large bottle of liquid honey out of a white and began to stream down their faces. In other words, the sons' faces, and they began to weep. The beautiful man held each of the fathers in his arms. "Even as the Father has loved you, validate and affirm me as his son. So I give to you this grace now, how to love, validate, and affirm your sons. What your earthly fathers could not do for you, I am releasing on the earth, for the fathers and sons must walk together in great measure than ever before." And a couple points that he made: intercede for all Christian fathers, natural and spiritual fathers. Ask God to grant them the grace to receive the prophetic revelation above, to love, validate, and affirm their seeming prideful sons. Declare that the hearts of the fathers are being turned to their sons all across this nation. And also declare the result will be a strong, confident man or men of God in the body of Christ in their homes. Worship the Lord for this shift. Make it known far and wide throughout this country. And part of that is of course, worship time. I've been going through a book by John Dickinson called Praise As You Would in the Heavens. And then Robert Heidler yesterday, during the first service at Glory of Zion, talked about worshiping as David's tabernacle. And John Dixon, again, talked a lot about David's tabernacle. And this morning I was listening to Joseph Prince, and he also talked about David's tabernacle. So I guess I need to briefly talk about David's tabernacle tonight, and as part of and ultimately, David is a forerunner or a Jesus Christ, and David's tabernacle was not like Moses' tabernacle. It was an open tent where the people could come and praise and worship with the Ark of the Covenant exposed. And that was different, of course, than what Moses' tabernacle was, because they had set steps they had to go through that in the outer court, the people could come there bringing their sacrifice, and then the priest could go into the holy place, but only once a year the high priest could go in the most holy place. And as Matt taught on that several weeks ago, I did not realize that the veil between the holy and the holy of holies was as thick as it was. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Matt said it was about 6 inches thick. That's a huge veil to have to go through. And it made it more miraculous when Christ was crucified that that thick veil was torn from top to bottom. Because I originally thought that it was just, you know, just a small covering, but being something that thick would definitely take quite a bit. And of course, God can do anything, you know, just proving that it was him when he tore that veil from top to bottom. But getting back to David's tabernacle, they were able to praise and worship freely in front of that particular tent that housed the Ark of the Covenant. So that definitely is the time and the season that we're in, going back into David's tabernacle. And a lot of us have said there's been lots of attacks against many of us, which Wade talked about. The truth is that you're entering into your greatest adventure with Jesus, into Jesus yet that you've experienced. And of course, that's what we're wanting to do, is we want to be with Jesus, because he is in us and we are in him, and that's part of his kingdom. And as we go into the final stage of the particular piece about the tabernacle and the kingdom of God, a couple scriptures stuck out to me today as I was preparing. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus and champion who initiates and perfects our faith, because of the joy awaiting him, endured on the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God at his throne." And again, when we praise God, he is enthroned, and he takes his seat on the throne. Also in John 14, Jesus told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." So still keeping my eyes on Jesus, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, as your scripture says, my Father. And Father, thank you for giving us the time to come before you, give you praise and honor as you're seated on your throne in your kingdom. And we just want to just give you all the praise and thank you for that. We see you working every single day in this country and throughout the world with all the signs and wonders you're doing, how you're working, turning the fathers back to their sons, as Dutch was talking about on Father's Day. But we just bring all this to you and keep our eyes on your son as he's leading us away to you, because without him, without his sacrifice, we would not have that privilege to come and speak to you directly as we're doing now on this call, and I'm doing now as I'm praising and thanking you for this life. And we just want to keep you on top and keeping you in front and keeping you first in our lives. And we just thank you and praise you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Matt, I'm going to go ahead and yield to you, I think.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you, John. You know, tonight I want to focus on, again, what the Lord highlighted to me in small things. And honestly, I talked to Wade on Friday, and I didn't have a clue where I was going. And I was fortunate enough to be part of a streaming live conference with Nancy Cohen and Justin Abraham, appropriately titled Quantum Shift. And as I started watching Justin, all of a sudden the spirit just jumped in me again. And typically how it works. And this scripture just keeps resonating in me, Ephesians 5, where it talks about everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I mean, that scripture really struck me this week as I watched. You know, I spent a lot of time this week just with the Lord, and really, he poured into me. And, you know, wake up, sleeper. There's something in each one of us that he wants to shine his light on. He wants to awaken. There's parts in us, deep within us, that he wants to reach. Nancy Cohen made the statement, unless we deal with the kingdom within, we will not fully manifest the kingdom outwardly. If you think about it, it's common sense, but it's that deepness, it's that deep part that he wants to resonate in us so that he can be fully manifested. You know, Jesus responded to the religious leaders of the day when they asked about the kingdom. He said, some will say, look, it's here, or some, look, it's there, but he said, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you. It's amazing. We're always looking at the external things, and we're seeing major things happen all around the world every day. And people are always looking for the Lord to do things. And even in his day, when he said this, he said, a wicked, adulterous generation demands a sign, but none will be given it but the sign of Jonah. Jonah in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Why? Disobedience. And as I thought about that, we all have some level of that in each one of us. But it is really the blood of Christ, as it says in Ephesians 2. It's Christ Jesus who, when we were once far away, brought us near by his blood. There's something deeper in each one of us that still needs restoration, and he wants to heal and restore us. And as I listen to the message, it really revolves around the smallest thing, the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is the Yod. And it was a confirmation when I started to dig into this of the small things that he really reveals himself. You know, just like most of us are watching these wonderful big things shift all over, but it's the small things where the Lord wants to dive into us and bring spiritual growth in each one of us. It only comes by that small, still voice, that gentle caress of his spirit, and that soft, gentle move from deep within. You know, in Matthew 7, it says, in everything, do to others as you would have do to you. And he basically says in verse 13, it says, enter the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But the small gate and the narrow way leads to life. That narrow gate, that small thing again, when we go into that, when the Lord leads you into that, that's when he opens things up. I'm just amazed by the things that the Lord has shifted in me. He's rewiring my brain all the time to think differently from his point of view. Many doctrines, many religious spirits, beliefs have been shifted and moved out of the way. And I'm so grateful for what he's doing right now. Just as it says in John, you know, God is spirit, and he's calling those to worship him in spirit and truth. That is what he's pouring out in these days. And as we look at this tonight, we'll just take a few minutes to look at the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is the name of our Almighty. You know, as we think about that, I just wanted you to focus on the Yod for a second. Just close your eyes and think about the galaxies of stars, billions and billions and billions of stars. And look, as you look, there may be one that's in a very far distance. It's the smallest light you can see. And yet, it's just a dot. It's something that's there in all of creation. That's what the yod is. It's the 10th letter of the alphabet. It's the smallest letter. It's a dot or point. And being the smallest, but it represents the creator, the single point from which all creation emerges, and the unity within multiplicity. It is the foundation of foundations, the hidden divine spark which causes everything to be. What a picture that is. Think about that little dot in the distance being the center of creation, the spark, the divine spark. The Lord is so amazing when he created the Hebrew living letters. And the smallest one carries the greatest point. It's the beginning of the name, Yod Heh Vav Heh. You know, we've always been taught about the enormity, the all-knowing, all-seeing, omnipresent God. And yet here is the smallest of letters, a point or dot, that reveals this magnificent creation. It's just mind-blowing, but that's the way the Lord is. He wants to lead you into that narrow place, and there's much narrow places in each one of us that he wants to unlock. That's what he really imparted to me this week. And as we continue to look at this letter, there's just so much we can unravel, but we'll touch on a few things. First is the number of Yod, which is 10. We know 10 is the number of completion. It's the number of the full supply of his presence. We need to look no further than the author and finisher of our faith, Yeshua. He is in us, and he wants to occupy every part of us. Even in Yeshua's baptism, he gave us a picture of that. When John the Baptist was baptizing all the people, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven came and said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." Now, of course, we know that triggered the start of his ministry. But before he even started, he was led into the wilderness for a time for proper preparation. It is the same thing the Lord's doing with us. There's a constant process of renewal. But we have to let him in there. We have to enter into that gate. You know, in the age of the church, we were all about being spirit-filled, and we still are, you know, flowing in the gifts, the fivefold ministry, the wonderful things that were given to equip the body. And it even seems with new technology, we have prophetic words. We have stuff coming out of the woodwork every day. Many great movements have come by the way of the fivefold ministry. And its results are good, but they've been limited because we do not see the total transformation of the body. That is really the plumb line, my brothers and sisters. The Lord is doing something greater now in this day, and he's calling us to step into it. Yeshua was the model. His ministry was different. There was something more than just the healing and the flowing. You know, he said, "Blessed are those who haven't even seen that." His message was about the kingdom, manifesting the kingdom here on earth. His ministry was not based on the flow of the Spirit from an earth-based ministry, but rather a coexistence with the Father. He is in the Father. John 14 says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." It's not based on an in and out flow again, but a full-time engagement and connection. And in Isaiah 11, it says this, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of fear of the Lord, and he shall make him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips," the ruach, "and righteousness shall be the guide of his loins, and faithfulness the gird of his reins. There's a lot right there, but what I want you to see is it was more than just that dove residing on him. The fullness of the seven spirits also resided on him. When you think about that letter Yod, the 10th letter represents the full supply. Yeshua had the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the seven spirits resting on him. That is a picture of kingdom government. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit equal 3, and add the seven spirits equals 10. It is the full supply of kingdom government manifesting. And this is what he's calling us to do. This is what he's calling us to step into. But it's the kingdom within us that needs to be dealt with. You know, in Isaiah 9, we know that it says a child was born, and unto us a son was given. The government shall rest upon his shoulder. And he is the head, and now we are to be the body. But the body will be those who are transformed into the fullness of his image. And that will be the kingdom government manifesting on earth. In the Hebrew, when they picture the letter Yod, it pictures a hand. Again, if you look at the five fingers and the five fingers, you can see government there, the hand of God ruling and reigning, his sovereignty, his rule. It's an amazing picture we have, all within that first letter of Yod Heh Vav Heh. It all starts with the smallest point, the everlasting, never-ending point of all creation. The name is amazing. Does God want us to know him intimately and call him by his name? Most definitely. In fact, knowing his name is fulfillment of the prophetic scriptures that he declared in the last days, his people will know him by name. Again, in Isaiah, it says, my people will know my name. Therefore, in that day, they will know that it is I who foretold it. And that's the days that we're entering into. If we look at the next Hebrew letter in Yod Heh Vav Heh, it's Hey. The original pictograph for this letter was a man standing with his arms raised up. Of course, the modern things have changed, but one of the amazing things about Hey is the Hebrew word meaning behold. And as I was looking at this great sight, the word can also mean breath. As one looking at a great sight, behold, breathless, revealed, revelation, from the idea of revealing the great sight, pointing it out. So this means simply to be undone, to be disturbed, as by the breath, the Ruach HaKodesh. As we enter the smallest point of Yod into the Hay, we behold something, the glory. Even Isaiah again said, woe to me, for I am ruined. He saw that. And there's something the Lord did there, right there in the transformation of him. It's amazing to continue to think about that. Even in Revelation, John says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and he heard behind him a voice like that of a trumpet. It speaks to us of that intimate place of stepping in. He gives us just a wonderful picture of entering into the present. What an awesome place to be, where the intimacy and revelation, where the Lord just gives us what he wants to give us. He knows exactly where we are, what we need. I mean, we have wonderful worship services and conferences where the atmosphere is thick with the presidents. They're all wonderful things. But there's more. The third lever of Yod Heh Vav Heh is the Vav. And we know that's a tent peg and a hook. And, you know, the Vav attached to a verb converts the other verb either to the past or future. It is a connection point. We've talked about it many times on this call. So in the middle of the Yod Heh Vav Heh is this connecting point to something higher, the peg connecting heaven and earth. And if we only engage to the first level, we come in and come out. We hear, we speak, we return. we're operating much as the level the church has over the last 1,700, 2,000 years, which is a great thing. But I ask you the same question. Does this represent the full supply of his government upon the earth? There's something more. And the Lord showed me in this message, you know. And as we look at this, John gives us a clue. There's something beyond just that one level, that connection point. And in Revelation 4, it says this, after this I looked, and there, behold, was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I heard speaking with me was like a trumpet, and said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once he was in the spirit, again, moving. But if you look at it, wait a minute. John says in Revelation 1:10 that he was already in the spirit. Yet in 4, there's another door standing open, a door for him to go higher, to experience a deeper place of revelation where the Lord took him personally. That is really the key in this season. And there's doorways and there's gateways that are internal to the kingdom within each of us that we need to allow the Lord to highlight to us, to take us in. We need to shut down our own thought processes, our own desires, and allow him to lead us there. That's what this is all about. That's what this season and this time is for him to do a greater work in each of us. If we're truly going to be the sons and daughters and the kings and priests and manifest that level, then we need to seek this. We need to seek the kingdom within. We need to allow the Lord to highlight those things and continue to do a finishing work in us. I love 1 John 3 where it says, behold, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. There it is. We have the opportunity to do that. That is the opportunity of his transformation, his great love, to take us and just make us into himself, a reflection of himself. Even Yeshua said this, Jesus, in John 5. He says, verily I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. That's the picture of each one of us. Once you entangle with the divine nature, every need is met. You see, we have operated largely from an earthly position, and we have looked for healing, deliverance, freedom from sin, prophecy, all the things. But when we step into him, all those things are already there. He's already done everything for us. We just need to step into the fullness of that. Even John the Baptist put this in simple terms in Luke 3. He says, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come. The straps of sandals, he's not worthy to tie. But I love this. He says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's two different things there. The Holy Spirit, we know, and the fullness of that, but the fire is a fire that redeems us. And that fire is the all-consuming fire inside of us that wants to transform us from the inside. Only then will we be able to truly take that eternal position. We're already seated with them, but there are things blocking us from entering the reality of that. This is what this message is all about. And David knew this. David had such a relationship with the Father. Psalms 42 says, deep calls the deep, in the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and your breakers have swept over me. Now that is an awesome scripture. I mean, we could just rest right in that and enter into that. The roar of his waterfalls just cascading over you and washing you and drawing you in. That is the ultimate picture of what the Lord wants to do in each of us. Thank you, Father. This message just hit me so much this week. I spent a lot of time and the Lord, we just love you. We thank you for who you are. Lord, the covenant has already been done. You have fulfilled the covenant. There are things still to come with the restoration of the earth. But each one of us, Lord, has opportunity because of what you did on that cross. And your death and the resurrection, Lord. Because of your cleansing of that temple. You made it all possible by tearing the veil, that thick veil, allowing us into the Holy of Holies. And the Ark of your presence. We are the Ark of your presence, Lord. Lord, and there's further things each one of us can just take from this message, Lord, and to just step into the fullness of you. Through that narrow gate, Yeshua, it is you. It's the ultimate gate to go through. There are many other things out there swirling around there, Lord, but what we really need is to enter into the smallest of gates, which is you. And it takes our hearts, Lord, to focus, to submit, and to surrender to that, Lord, to allow your all-consuming fire to come in and just refine us. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory and honor for all the things you're doing in this world. But most of all, Lord, continue to do that finishing work in each of us so that we may truly be manifesting you, so that light will come in and wake up all the areas in us that still need to be shown and to be revealed and to be restored. Lord, we praise you, we love you, and we just want to just honor you, Lord, this evening in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's powerful. Powerful, powerful. We need continued knowledge to go to these next levels, the depths of what is being said by studying Hebrew. And most people aren't going to study Hebrew. But if you have the basic core knowledge of the numerical system, for one, the months, it's the reason we do the prayer calendar, that you can have a basis, that we can press forward, we can go up to higher levels, we can go dimensionally, dimension to dimension, glory to glory. And in that, revelation comes. Now, Matt, you know, generally, whoever brings the teaching does communion. Do you want to do communion?
Sure, absolutely. I always love communion. So if you have your communion elements, and Lord, we are just so grateful. And as we come together corporately, Lord, we come together as your body. Lord, you are the head. You are the one that opened it all up for us. And you are the one that are the source of our supply. What you accomplished, Lord, it is finished. It was done before the foundation of the world. And now it's up to us to continue to seek you like never before, Lord. We just want to enter into the fullness of that, the fullness of your life, because you are the life. And that way was made by you. And Lord, we need to remove all the distractions. Lord, we just honor you for what you did and what you're doing in this time, bringing all things back into you. And Lord, as we take this element, Lord, we just take it with an open heart. And we want to receive you, Lord. We receive you now as one. And we thank you. Partake the bread. Lord, in the cup of your righteous blood, which cleanses all things, Lord. Not only that, but it brings life. The very life that was poured out through your blood now brings an everlasting, eternal life to us. And it is the most precious gift, Lord. As we lift this cup before you, we just take this, Lord, humbly. And we say, Lord, thank you. We praise you. Partake.
We're going to do something. We're going to create an echo. Because in Exodus 19, when the shofar blew, it says there was a violent echoing sound.
Oh.
It says the same thing in Acts chapter 2. The English translates a mighty wind, but it was really a mighty echoing. It was the shofar sound. Think of it this way. God blowing his sound and you being the echo wall that receives it. So that the sound that comes out of his mouth will be the same sound that comes out of your mouth. And the ways that come out of him will be the same ways that come out of you. That's what's happened in these lands.
Now give a shout back.
Glory to God. Thank you, Matt and John. You know, we need the word that Matt brought. We need to press into communion continually. And the sound of that shofar is literally the sound from heaven. The word is that there'll be a new sound and it'll come from heaven. And many of you received the email and the YouTube video last year. It was around the time of Tabernacles when the circle cloud surrounded Jerusalem and trumpets could be heard blasting. And that was that echoing sound of those trumpets blasting. I want to call on a couple of people tonight. I am traveling, and I do apologize for my communication problems. I've got a new computer. And I had issues. I had to step over for a little bit, and John and Matt so graciously, as always, take care of things. And I finally got reestablished and back on. And those are the kind of frustrations that we go through many times in life. You don't know what challenges you're going to face. I'm working with a company that literally has changed millions of lives. And they've got a whole new product line. It's going to change millions more. And in the process of going through it, getting to that point, they lost everything. Multi-million dollar company. And it all went away. And you go, Lord, the cost they had to pay to get to this next level because they put everything they had into the new products. And it's the same thing in our lives. So often we have to put everything we have into relationship, into living, survival. And you say the cost is so great. At the same time, God is saying it's nothing compared to the reward. It's nothing compared to that which is coming. Because what is coming is paramount. It's his plan. It's his purpose for our lives. Now, I'd ask David to prepare about 10 minutes or something to give a testimony. And David, I'd as we talked, I don't want to give the background of it. I want you to give the meat of it and what it means today in the vision you had. And then, Gene, I'm going to call upon you. So, David Pimbleton.
Good evening, everybody. After I had talked with Wade earlier today, or just a little bit before the call, I started to pray about how to talk about what I'm sharing, because there's a lot of stuff in here. There's a lot of details. There are multiple interpretations or multiple facets, dimensions to a dream, a vision, or even to a point I'm taking an experience that I had nearly 26 years ago, or around 26 years ago. The long and the short of it all is that there were 12 bags of funds that were deposited to me, and in the understanding of some more things during my time with the Lord today, he gave me an understanding that those 12 bags had another meaning, because there's always meaning to things. Things can have multiple meanings within a dream. And what the Lord began to share with me, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh began to unfold. Even with my friend Elizabeth, we began to pray and seek God. We spent all day, practically, with the Lord today in this situation. It came out to be a couple of things. In the dream, we had two briefcases that were given to us. Me, a gold one, her, a silver one. Well, gold and silver means wisdom, gold. Silver means salvation. And so God began to unfold that what he was sharing with me that Elizabeth, my friend, and I are about to go through, because she was in the dream, was a season or 12 seasons of wisdom of salvation and salvation of wisdom. And what wisdom through salvation is meant to be. And that in this, we are finding ourselves, because we've been praying, God, there's something that we know that we're in. We need to know about where things are. And he revealed to me about the 12 bags being 12 seasons, and that at this particular moment, we are at the beginning of the last 12th bag or season of the book that was written of what we had to go through to get some things dealt with in our lives. A huge undertaking is what it meant in that situation. And so in the light of what I'm beginning to see in the larger sense of what Wade has gone through, Matt, John, all of us here are going through, this was just not meant for me to understand. This was for me to share with you all tonight to let you know that you have all been going through a multiple huge number of seasons, a huge important seasons of your life, where you, or many of you here, are about to enter into the last, or already have entered into the last season of this time period of a great dealing of the Father in you. And that you're coming into the last book, or chapter, pardon me, of this book, or of this season, the last season, of where you're in the transitional point, which means that at this point, there's probably going to be a lot of writing, a lot of things are going to be revealed, a lot of things have got to be established, because at the end of this season, which, by the way, we've discovered that it's just a little bit over a two-year period, 2.17 years, according to the math that we did. So somewhere in around 2020 is when the end of the book, the end of the seasons happens, and the transition into a whole different life will be already starting to fulfill itself, because what I understand about the season we're in is that the transitional season of where things begin to manifest in the earth in our lives that prepare us and brings the foundation of a natural place in our lives where things that have been done spiritually have a way to come into the earth and to form itself into how it's supposed to come into this world in order to transform not just your own life, but the lives of multitudes of people around you. And so at this time, we may have to endure a little bit more. We may have to be ready to deal with some things. So I would suggest you really define and really get some time with the Lord to where you can define how this end season, this end of this book gets written, because the 12th season ends, the end of the book ends, and the book 13, or the 13th season, the Order of Melchizedek, begins. And so that whole issue is a whole new walk, a whole new thing that must be looked at in this last season in order to establish the new that's coming of his kingdom. And this government kingdom is going to have such a powerful move that all of us that are going to be involved in this are going to find ourselves walking in a place where we will say, are we really here? Or is this just a dream we're living? So remember, wisdom and through salvation, salvation of wisdom, and wisdom in the salvation creates the ability for the experience of salvation, which is, in this case, is the time of refreshing and restoring of all things so that Yahushua HaMashiach can be released to come out from heaven into where we are, and we are to be with him forever. And so, Father, I pray that you begin to start to open up people's hearts and minds, sync them together so that they can start to go through a more powerful renewal and a more permanent renewal, so that they can operate in the things that you have to come in the new season, that I will say, Father, even towards the end of this last season that we've entered into, may begin to manifest even now as we speak. And as I pray, because you are the sower is overtaking the reaper, and the reaper is overtaking the sower. And so there's a lot of things that are about to come all at one time. So give us continuous wisdom and insight and ways to walk this out so that we may be ready to walk some things out in a given moment's notice. In Yeshua's name, amen.
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 Thank you, sir. Now, I have been fortunate. Matt's traveled, I've traveled, many of you have. But in the capacities that we've been able to go in, it's literally with nations and kings and presidents and DOD contracts and government contracts and UN situations and congressional opportunities, and they don't really mean anything other than the fact that God's put us in those positions to give us opportunities. One of those people that I've traveled with is a lady named Pat Francis, and many of you might be familiar with her. Pat Francis is an ambassador to the UN for Canada. She has that position, and she also is a minister and businesswoman, and has affected hundreds of thousands of people and helped them move forward. I traveled to Africa with her and her team and been in other places. And she has a word almost every day. And this is the word today. And it really hit home because in a world of turmoil and uncertainty, you know, the craziness of the nations, NATO, the World Bank, the IMF is one of the worst corrupt organizations there is, making full of finances. When you find out who actually runs things, it's scary. I had a young man that I mentor call me up. He's a senior at SMU in Dallas, and he calls me on a regular basis, and I shake up his world. And I told him, I said, you know, it doesn't really matter. He asked me about some presidents, and I gave backgrounds on them. He was shocked, but I'm not the historian that Gene and David are, but I am a historian. I love history. And I told him what I actually knew from contact and things that could, back in the day, could get you in a lot of trouble just by you knowing. But I know who killed Kennedy. I've talked to the people that were involved. Things you go, oh, that's not true. Well, it is. They were actually hired. And Jacqueline Onassis, or Kennedy, actually found out. She's told it. And you look at the powerful nations and the people. You look at the great thinkers. You look at the different directions we take to resolve terrorism, environmental problems, economies, foods, shortages and storage and security and poverty going on. And those are some of the different things that in ministry we need to be looking at. He said, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, make rich the poor. Matt and I are involved in doing things to help feed the hungry. And it's not that we're working out in shelters. We're working on projects that could feed millions because God's got us in that arena. And if it weren't for the Prince of Peace, if it weren't for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to give us some kind of peace, you can't handle lots of information that are available out there. Even in the studies that Matt does and the places God takes him, a lot of people aren't ready for what he's got, where God's taking him. We're going to start delving in. You already are. We're just doing subtly, you know, very subtly, bringing you information that Matt is pressing into in relationship. And, you know, God calls himself the Prince of Peace, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And our peace is going to have to be with him because the world's not going to give us any peace. It's going to get worse. And Pat Francis brings out this newsletter every day, and her thing was John 14:27, and I love John 14:27. Jesus said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not the peace that the world gives. So when I was having the discussion about who shot Kennedy, how did Johnson have involvement in it, all these different things, he said, can I say that in a civics class? I said, you can quote it as an anonymous source. I said, you can find it. You can find that information out there. You have to do a little bit of digging. You have to go into the records of, you know, Jacqueline Kennedy and other things. I said, but it's out there. And I said, but take a look at today, the uncertainty, how Hollywood and the leftist, or the liberal community is trying to destroy everything we stand for. They would rather have MS-13 marry their daughters than a Republican or a conservative. Now, if that's not idiocy, you know, when MS-13's whole thing is to kill, steal, and destroy, I mean, they're just straight out of a satanic Bible. But God gives peace that overflows in our hearts. He gives it with wisdom and discernment and unlimited power. But we have to trust in that peace from him. We have to have that quiet love, that place that transcends all understanding, and it only comes by pressing into that quiet place. And that quiet place is a place of going from glory to glory. So when we bring a word here, we bring an encouragement, we bring a prayer, know that our intent is to help you find a place of peace. Now, sometimes it's going to stir you, and that stirring is to get you to dig deeper, to look more. You know, I had one governor from the Republic say he would not be on our call or receive our newsletter because I didn't use only King James Bible. And I said, I know what denomination you're in. I was there. But God didn't translate the Bible just in King James English. And we need to look at what God's saying. How is the verbiage? What do the words say? Where is our place in it, in this picture? What do you want me to do, Lord? How come everything's going bad and I can't get any answers? I know Wendy Alec came out on Elijah List today and talked that very thing. I mean, she lost her husband. Their ministry nearly collapsed. They had one of the most incredible TV ministries, and I could be wrong, but her husband, I think he died. And that we go through things that you can't understand. Look at the Ken Clement. Ken Clement, mighty man of God. His prophecies are coming, being fulfilled today. But he's gone. I've been at death's door too many times. Many of you have suffered beyond suffering, beyond understanding, your children, yourselves. You've gone through challenges. And God says, peace I give you, not that the world gives. Because there is no peace when you're physically handicapped and you can't function. When you're so broke, you can't feed your animals and your kids. When you're in such pain every day that it's hard to live. When it seems like there's no hope, there's no future, at the same time, God says, there's a hope and a future in me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, what all does that mean? Well, it means going as deep as you can go. It means going from level to level. It means pressing in prayer and worship and revelation. So as we do these things, as we become more of the Melchizedek order, as we become more of the kings and priests that God can call upon us instead of us calling on him all the time. You know, that's what he actually wants to do. He wants his children to answer when he calls to go do things. He wants us to heal the sick. Walk in hospitals and everybody walk out and we pray for it. He wants us to feed the hungry. Well, there's so many hungry out there just in the city you're in that, you know, you couldn't even afford to pay the, you know, a Burger King bill or a McDonald's bill to buy them hamburgers. You might be able to buy a couple dozen. But how are you going to feed those people regularly, Lord? Well, feed them the word first. How are we supposed to accomplish all these things when we hurt so bad that we don't know how to make it ourselves and there's no peace in us? And he says, peace I give you. Not that the world gives, but that which I give. And I'm going to take you to the place that you'll transcend all understanding that you've had, all knowledge that you've had, and bring you into an understanding of my power, my wisdom, my discernment for you. Because each of us advance at different paces. There's, of all of us on this call right now, there's not anybody that's at the exact same place. I asked Matt to go in and study. Well, he was already going, you know, gangbusters to learn more. And he so far surpassed me in areas that I just go, wow, I didn't know that, and I didn't know that, and I didn't know that. You know, it's a wild situation. Well, there's many of you the same way. You might say something about me that, you know, we bring all this information and knowledge, but every one of us is going to be at a place that God wants us at as he takes us through. So be encouraged. Even though the challenges are insurmountable, even though the heartache is beyond what you think you can handle, you can do this. A friend of mine from high school committed suicide this week. He had MS. His wife died of cancer. He didn't see any hope. So he put a gun to his head, thinking it's easing his pain and easing everybody else's. Well, his children and his grandchildren are going to be dealing with this the rest of their lives. We don't deal with pain by copping out of it. We deal with pain by overcoming it. And we do that in and through Christ. And that's one of the goals that we have here every week, is to help you gain the ability to overcome. Gene, you know how I am. Today, I didn't get a chance to talk to you as many times as we talked. The Lord said to me that there was something that you just discovered. I don't have any idea what it is. Do you know what it is? Is there something you can share that you just discovered that God gave you?
There is. Thank you, Wade. Ooh. In the last 24 hours, it has to do with the parable of the 10 virgins and the 5 virgins that got to go, and the 5 foolish virgins did not. The 5 wise virgins had oil, and what we got is that they had the oil of understanding. And listening to the word from David Pembleton this evening about what the Lord had given him and Elizabeth about the gold and the silver, the wisdom and the salvation, spoken to me. We know that wisdom is the principal thing because it says so in God's word in the Proverbs. We know that it's key that we have the fear of the Lord, fear meaning the reverential awe of the Lord, and that's the beginning. And then we have wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We need that oil of understanding so that we can be amongst the 5 wise virgins for what the Lord is doing in this very time, in whatever seasons He gives us in this time. We need that oil of understanding. And so, having verbalized that, I'm going to pray that for us. Father, I thank you for the manna of your word that you brought to us this evening through the brothers. I thank you, Lord, for your wisdom from above that you have imparted by revelation to each one. I thank you, Lord, that you have a people, that you have sons and daughters that thirst for you, and you have water that quenches that thirst. It's a living water. Thank you, Yeshua, that you make that available to us, the living water. We thank you that you have food that is not of this world, but it is food that feeds us. We thank you for your word, which is the whole Lamb of God. We thank you that you answer us when we seek you, and that you love to share your secrets with your friends. We thank you, Lord, for what you've imparted to us in this season. Thank you for your wisdom from above. Thank you for the knowledge that you impart as we seek you, and we do our part in seeking after that knowledge, which is you. And we thank you for the oil of understanding so we know what to do with it. And I ask, Lord, that you would open up the heavens and pour out your spirit, that you would give to us, Lord, everything that you have for us, everything that you desire to have for us, according to your will that works in me, by your word that is in me and works through me, in me, around me. Lord, I speak it forth. I request in the name of Yeshua. And I ask you for all of us, for that oil, Lord, that with that oil, that we would be fruit bearers. We would bear much fruit to your glory. Thank you, Father. Because we've asked, we can consider that it's done, because we've asked it in your Son's name. And I thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now, I didn't finish the point a minute ago, and Spirit just quickened me, says you didn't finish the point. And the young man that I mentored, he's gone around the world representing the university, speaking, and he'll call me up and he'll ask me certain questions about things. And this last week, he says, you did it again. I said, what? He says, you left me undone. I said, that's what the Word of God is supposed to do, because I was getting in the Word of God. And I said, it doesn't matter what goes on around you. I said, keep in mind the order of things. Jesus, the kingdom. And from there on, I said, you can add. But I said, it becomes your family, not your church. And in this, in us, it's not the republic, it's your family. It's your job, your church, the republic. It's those things after that. He says, I'm totally undone. I said, that is what's supposed to happen with the Word. When we get revelation, we're supposed to be undone that we can grow. David got a word of revelation. And I asked him to share it. Now, there's a lot to it. There's lots of background. I said, David, don't share all that. It's going to bring in 2 months. Just share the revelation. The Lord spoke to me as I'm looking at all your names on the board. And he said, Gene has been given revelation. And we talked, what, 2 days ago? Gene?
I think
we were
so.
Sharing, yeah, praying and sharing about stuff. And the Lord said that you've gotten revelation since that time and I hadn't talked to you. And you brought it. You know, now, I'm going to put it back on somebody. John, Holy Spirit just told me a minute ago, you got something out of this that you did not have before, out of tonight. Can you tell me what that is?
Yeah, I was just thinking it's been a very powerful night. What I've learned, I didn't know all the different pieces to the yod that Matt brought. I knew what the yod was and part of it, but I didn't know the depth that it went into, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, and that knowledge helps us to gain wisdom. And, you know, all through the Psalms and Proverbs, is seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Well, we're trying to bring wisdom. Matt, would you like to bring anything before we close?
Actually, I'm good. I think we're in a good place. So,
I hope everybody has received something tonight. Again, I ask for my forgiveness. I had computer problems traveling. I've gotten fixed as we were going here. I just called out to the Lord. I said, Lord, I got to have this fixed. I got to get back on this call because it's not now. And immediately I was able to get back on a simple thing, but it's an important thing. He cares about the little things. Be encouraged. There's going to be things happening very rapidly. The suddenlies are taking place around the world. The thing that Gene and I talked about the other day was the answers, the directions, the suddenlies, the things that are starting to happen ministry-wise and word-wise, and it's everywhere. It's not just us. It's just open up your eyes. God is doing things, and he's things that you've worked on for a long time and didn't even remember, and then all of a sudden it'll come to mind. And say, oh, man, I prayed for that a long time ago. You'll see the door open, the opportunities come in place, new positions, new callings. That you did not even recognize at the time. Just ask God to open your eyes. Ask the Father and Lord Jesus, open my eyes. Open my eyes, Holy Spirit, that I can see that what you're doing, that I can do my position, my part in it, that you'd receive the glory, and I just get to be walk. I get to walk in it. And you'll get blessed. Be encouraged. Look up. Our redemption draws nigh, and we have more opportunity now than since Christ was here to be kingdom people and be a blessing. Father, I want to thank you for this evening. I want to thank you for the outpouring. I want to thank you for the word of encouragement, the word of direction, the word of reproof, the word of insight, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, revelation that you bring, that we can receive it if we'll just open our heart to it. As we go into that secret place, as we go into that place of intimacy with you, that we can go from dimension to dimension, glory to glory, literally press into where you are instead of where we are. And in that, we can partake. And what an honor and privilege it is. I ask that you would put a mighty hedge around every person, that the angels, the hosts of heaven, would encamp around them, that you would cover each and every one of us with the blood of Jesus, that no enemy can attack us. You didn't say that the weapons would not be formed against us. You just said that no weapon would prosper that is formed against us. So, Lord, we press in knowing that there's weapons out there against us, but that you said they shall not prosper against us. And they won't prosper if we have wisdom and discernment and press into you, into that place of revelation and understanding and breakthrough. And we thank you. And we bless you and we exalt you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the hedge. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the word and all those that have participated this night. In Yeshua Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Matt, thank you. Powerful, powerful. We need to hear that about every quarter. And we need to repeat that and get it down in our spirit so we would know what's happening. And that's part of what we're attempting to do in our calendar, everybody, is that there's a lot there. One person that Monty has it printed by said he won't go print anymore because it got too big. He says you print a book every month. And that's 39 pages. You don't have to print it. For those of you who have a computer, just open up that day and use it as part of your prayer and study time, what God is saying. And it lines up with the time and season of the month that we're in, chronologically as best we can. Not everything's a perfect match, but it's pretty much it lines up. And let that help be a part of what you do. There's words of encouragement from the prophets. There's words that I put in there. There's entire articles and prayers and lots and lots of scripture. And it's to be a blessing to you. So I pray that you would be blessed by it. And at that, we're going to turn the recording off.